I know when that hotline ring.
That can only mean one thing, honey.
Yep. Y'all called on us again on the Homegirl Hotline, and we are answering today. This time, we're talking about all things relationship. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast, your weekly fix for all things mental health and wellness. I'm Brittany, the joke-cracking, detail-oriented friend who is always down the road when you need her. For the legal stuff, though, not the illegal stuff.
And I'm Germany, the loyal friend who keeps you laughing. I'm a ray of sunshine, and you can always find me on the dance floor. And not only are we besties, but we're your besties. You heard me right. It's homegirl vibes here.
Get ready for the girls to dish the real, the raw, and the fucking funny.
And listen, we may drag you, but it's always in love. Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back, my loves.
How is it going today? How are you feeling?
Whew, I'm on a high, y'all. We seen Beyonce last night. And today, I really feel... I hate to say this, but I'm just going to say it. So if you've ever done ecstasy, the next day, you feel like just depleted because all of your serotonin, all of the dopamine, all of your feel good chemicals that are in your body and in your brain are just depleted.
Yeah.
That's how I feel today. I just feel like,
it was the adrenaline getting, like, building up to getting there. And then when we got there and I screamed my lungs out, like, I've never screamed like that at a concert. I screamed.
Yeah.
We danced.
We sang. It was a core memory. Beyonce is truly an icon.
She's iconic.
To see her just living in her legendariness and being able to take it in and be like in the environment where it's taking place. I was just like, I couldn't even look at her. At one point I said, how? That motherfucker is not real. I'm like, how? How is she so iconic? How is she so beautiful? How is she moving around that stage
with dancing, the voice of singing? An angel?
I mean, angelic.
With the voice of an angel. And she pulled out all the stops for LA. She had different outfits. She did three songs that she has not been performing. She did the Dubai Drunk in Love, Thick. And what was the other one?
I don't know.
I think it's I'm trying to get all up. Is that all up in your mind?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get all one, up in one your of mind.
The, another, there's another song that she doesn't usually do, but baby, she loves L.A.
It was iconic.
She loves L.A. And we had a whole opening show. So...
Yeah. She left it on the floor.
I did too. I said the same thing. I said Beyonce left it all at SoFi Stadium. And so did I.
It was there.
It was left. My soul.
Listen, broken pieces.
Broken into pieces and at her feet. My soul was placed at her feet.
It was gone.
You can take my soul.
Right.
You can take my soul.
It was so good. If you haven't seen her yet and you still have an opportunity to, or you know there's a chance that you might be able to see her,
you gotta go. I get now why people were going 3, 4, 5 times. I'm like, why do y'all keep going? Because it's
I don't know if I have enough, like,
it's that
I feel like I don't know if I have enough to give.
No, Jeremy, it didn't take that much.
It took it from me. I'm serious.
It didn't take that much.
Brittany, you don't know how I feel in
like
my body.
Each time, no, I get it, but I feel like it don't take that each time because the first time.
You already
time,
know, yeah.
You know.
Because I literally feel exhausted.
I feel exhausted too, but I'm saying the people that keep going, they probably have a different experience each time.
They're like, probably okay, looking at more of the details.
This time we gonna party. This time we gonna, you know, like, it's not like, oh, what's that? What's next? What is she? She popped out.
My friend who went to see Taylor Swift 3 times, the first time they were on the floor up close, girl, like row 1, 2, they spent like $1,500 on these tickets and they were really, really close. They had like a VIP package that was for their up close and personal like footages. Mm-hmm. Then they went again in Vegas where they were able to just sing and have a good time. And then I connected them and they went to in SoFi where it was like more of a sweet experience. Mm-hmm. And they were able to just relax and enjoy the show.
Yeah.
So maybe when we go, we're going again, y'all. That's our intention.
Yeah.
and we're going to be on the floor.
The gag is we had bought tickets while before Beyonce had even came up. I think that's how much our adrenaline was pumping. We had got us some good ass floor seats for the birthday show. That's another thing. Yeah. It's the birthday show.
Yeah.
We had the honor of her being here on her birthday, and we had some good tickets, girl. But why the fuck did they need to verify our card for some odd reason? And we were in the middle of the concert, so Germany didn't get the call to her phone.
I didn't. It wasn't even a call to my phone. They wanted me to call them. I'm like, I can't call you in the midst of the concert.
So we lost our tickets, and those were so good.
But it's okay. There's still some available.
They were so good.
We just got to pull the trigger.
We want a different experience. We want to be on the floor.
Yeah, floor experience. We had good seats, you know.
Yeah, we did.
We want better seats.
We have to be.
And what are you doing if you're not wanting more for yourself?
Exactly.
In all areas.
We've been embodying that for this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a great time. Great, great time.
10 out of 10.
I too am depleted, and I have mustered up just enough strength to come here with y'all today. I was so depleted, y'all, that I forgot we was doing this today.
You did.
That's how fucked up I was. Thank God you texted me.
I know. But I always send you a text to say, like, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm on my way. I'll be there a touch earlier. There's not that much traffic in the city. It's very light today.
Holiday.
I think, yeah, holiday weekend. So I'm like, girl, I'll be there early.
Yeah.
When you sent back the crazy eyes, I'm like, okay.
Girl.
Tap in, Brittany.
The way I had just risen.
Girl. I was chilling. I went to my breath work class. So I was already up.
Oh, good. So that helped you?
Yeah.
You probably didn't have no breath to give.
Right, girl. I was like, shallow breath. I'm like, but she took it all. I'll be better next week. But it was good. It was needed. I'm recovering slowly.
Yeah.
Other than Beyonce, how are you feeling?
Amazing. Girl, that's gonna carry me through this week. That's, you know, I feel like that's gonna be the battery pack in my back.
Yeah, well, that's good.
I'm feeling good though.
So today, since we're done with a little weekend recap, mm-hmm. we are doing an episode that we really enjoy, and it seems that you all enjoy it as well.
We got a good response from it.
Yeah, the Homegirl Hotline. Y'all know we have a Homegirl Hotline. The number's down in the show notes where you can call if you need our advice. You know, you want to give us our flowers. We love that too. Mm-hmm. But any comments that you have, or you just need us to weigh in, give you some feedback on a situation or a circumstance that you might be dealing with, that's what the number is for. So you can call, you can text. You can also email us, contact@theblackgirlbravado.com. Or you can slide in our DMs. We get DMs all the time, too.
We do.
So for today's episode, because we're in our Resetting Your Relationships series, this Homegirl Hotline theme is all about relationships. All these
centered around it.
Yeah.
Centered around it.
Have an element of relationship at the core.
We got some goodies. So yeah. Should we get into it?
Yeah, I think we should. Let's go.
Okay, y'all. So our first letter, put a ring on it. That's what this one's called. I've been dating my BF for 8 years now. We met in college when we were 18. Our first few years together were rough, but we fixed a lot of issues in our relationship, like communication. And now our relationship is a lot better. When we graduated from college, he did not have a job yet, and I was in between jobs. So I didn't expect it to happen right away. Now it's been 4 years since we graduated. We both have jobs, and I'm like, where is the ring? He knows marriage is something I desire, and we've had a lot of conversations about the topic. Currently, we are living with his mother, and he said he would like for us to experience living alone and sharing finances first before we take that step. He mentioned that finances can cause a lot of issues in a relationship, and for that, I understand his concerns, but I also think we've worked so much on our relationship and our communication, and I believe after 8 years of dating, we will find a way to get over any hurdle. He reassured me that it will happen, but how long is too long to wait? Thank you for your advice. Dun, da, da, da. Tired of waiting. She's tired of waiting. What do you think about this?
I think, this is tricky because y'all met when you were younger.
Yeah.
And although it's been 8 years, y'all are still kind of young. And I know the girls do get married young.
Yeah.
20. It seems like y'all especially are maybe about 26. Girls. 26, 27.
I don't know where they're at, but.
26, 27. So I could see how he's not like jumping at, you know, the urge or to put a ring on it so soon, because he's probably still trying to figure some stuff out. Like, even though y'all have, it's been 4 years since you graduated, you guys are still kind of early on in, like, you know, in your 20s where a lot of self-discovery is happening, deciding what you want, when you want it, how you're going to get it. A lot of that is happening in this time period. And I know that we can look at like timelines and be like, well, we've been dating for 8 years. We're this old. I want to do this by this time. But I think in this situation, you're going to decide, you're going to have to really take a step back.
Yeah. And I think his logic is reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he is correct in his statement that a lot of marriages end because of financial reasons.
Yeah.
So wanting to have financial stability is something that I would appreciate being secure before we jump that step. Because, I mean, you don't want to get married just to get married or just because, like, you know, it's been 8 years. I get the urge and like, okay, what are we doing? But it sounds like you guys are doing something, you know?
Yeah, I think that's
true. As long as you're working towards the financial stability and like moving out and living together. I think that you guys have a step in the right direction. You know, it's not like you're just sitting idle. There's no plans to leave the mother's home.
There's
no conversation about it.
It probably would be helpful to figure out what you guys want to do in a certain time frame. Like, when do we want to move from here? Because once you get the ring, like, is the ring the point of which you're going to start deciding after 1 year, we're going to live with mom for another year and then we'll move out. We'll get the wedding in place. Like, the ring is just one part.
Yeah.
And he's probably thinking once the ring gets slid on, now we're going to be downhill. It's going to give uphill, but you know, like the trajectory.
Wait, what do you mean?
Once he gives her a ring, now you guys have to figure out how to move out, plan for a wedding, unless you're going to have a long engagement, but more finances are going to come into play because the money's going to be getting spent.
Yeah.
You see? So, if I were in this situation and I was living with somebody's mom and them, that would probably be my first order of
business. That would be the first step. I would be like, okay, so let's figure out how to make this an active plan.
Yeah.
Because sometimes plans are just verbal when like, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And then we can, okay, let's work on the this and the that.
Yeah.
So we can get to the then.
Yeah. That would be the first step for me. Unless you like doing the home, you know, the
familial living.
A corporate living is what I would call
a corporate.
Corporate living with his mom. But otherwise, I would probably be like, what is it going to take for us to move out and get our own place? Because although y'all are sharing finances, I don't know what it looks like for y'all to really like be out here doing it on your own, like paying your own rent, getting all the shit that it really takes to run a household.
Yeah.
So that would probably be first, unless you want to get engaged first and y'all are saving for that.
Mm-hmm.
But those plans would have to be happening in tandem.
Simultaneously.
The home or the apartment being secured coupled with when is the ring going to follow? For me.
What do you mean the home being secured coupled with when is it?
The apartment, moving out. Figuring out the apartment situation.
As soon as y'all move out, you need the ring.
No. I'm saying those two plans will have to be happening in tandem, kind of close together. So I would be trying to strategize on how can we move out, when can we move out, and then putting a plan in place for the ring.
Right.
If that's going to immediately follow or you guys are going to come up with something that feels comfortable for both of you guys, like let's live together for another year or 6 months and reevaluate what it looks like.
It has to be constant conversations.
Constant.
Yeah.
I have this situation like in my relationship, not this, but where you've been in your dynamic and you're trying to figure out how can we progress forward because you have so many conversations, or I'll say myself, I'll make it personal. We have so many conversations that are happening all the time about what it's going to look like to get to the next step and really trying to strategically plan because as an adult, you are really not getting nowhere unless you put in a real plan in place.
Yeah.
And what are the steps we're going to take to get there? I'm tired of talking.
Yeah.
I'm tired of talking, baby. We got to put some motion behind it.
Yeah.
And like, we had been talking about saving for a house. And I'm like, okay, if we're going to really save, let's figure out the amount. Let's figure out how long it's going to take us. Just all of those things. And because we haven't really narrowed in and like honed in on an amount and what it's going to look like, my mind is on some other shit now.
Right.
You know, my mind is on, well, let's move from our current place to a bigger place.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have more space if we're not going to move towards homeownership in the next like a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do.
Right.
And we had that conversation because an apartment came up available in my unit, in my building. And I'm like, I want to move to the transfer tier. And he's like, well, I really want to save. And I'm, well, let's start. Let's start doing
it.
Whatever we're going to do, you know, because I said if we're not going to be actively progressing towards this plan, I'd rather be comfortable.
Yeah.
So you figure out and you let me know. But I've told you what I want to do.
Listen.
So that's where we are with it. I would just say be really clear about your goals with your partner, what timeline you think makes the most sense, what's viable for you. And when you know when you are really fucking tired of waiting.
You will know.
When you're at your wit's end.
You will know. And yeah, I agree. That conversation should be explicit because some people think, okay, well, we move together and then mm-hmm. we stop in there. No, we're moving here. We're moving together with a goal.
For
a reason,
for a purpose.
Yeah, with a goal in mind. So yes. If we're moving, this is a step to the engagement. We're not just moving together just to move together, mm-hmm. you know? So have the explicit conversations.
Period.
So that you can make sure your desires are met.
Okay, y'all. The Homegirl Hotline is blinging. But before we get too deep into the episode, we're going to take a quick break. Stick around. Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR has got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure. Absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story, but now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling. But with them presenting Black Stories, Black Truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for?
Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, girly, so the next letter we've titled Trying to Move On. Hey, big sisters, I would love some advice from you all. I'm a young college grad student who just got out of a year-long situationship. We were long distance but saw each other almost every blank since we're from the same city, so we don't know how frequently they've seen each other. I just need advice on how to shake him. I really love him and am struggling that we just decided the distance isn't going to work for us anymore. I was willing to make it keep working. I mean, we're already a year in, right? I want to stop reaching out, stalking on social media constantly, except we didn't end on bad terms, but I know this won't be the last time I will see him, since again, we're from the same city and have a lot of mutuals. It did hurt that he said he was open to dating others though, because he feels ready for a relationship. Just the distance for us won't work. I don't want to be delusional by thinking we one day might end up together still because of our connection, because we had a strong one for sure. But I don't want to keep hanging on to what we had and putting my life on hold because of him. I just need some advice on getting over a breakup.
Okay. I was going to say, does she need advice? What does she? No contact.
I love that method.
The no contact method, I think, is the best, because that just helps you get a clear mind and move on. You know, like, stalking the social media is not good for you. Hanging on to the hope of what could be is not good for you. He's crystal clear that the distance doesn't work for him. So yeah, if nothing's going to change with that situation, then you just have to accept it for what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think that you have to make this work. I know that you were willing to keep making it work, but
yeah,
when somebody lets you know where they stand in a situation, baby, I take it exactly for what it is.
You have to take it for face
value. Yeah. And I don't know if it's because sometimes I feel cold in love. Sometimes I feel like I could be a little, I don't want to say callous, but I can be very black and white, you know, in a lot of circumstances. And relationships are typically not a difference for me. I'd be like, okay. So I know this, maybe my perspective might seem a little not warm sometimes, but I just think that a spade is a spade.
A spade is a spade. I think it's the connection part that has her, like,
I know,
resistant. And I feel you, girl.
I know.
I feel you. I have felt that too, where it's like, oh, the connection. That's the part that makes us hold on to the what ifs and the hopes or the dreams. But I will say, if there's something circumstantial that you know is not going to change, it's just better to just release the DeLulu.
Yeah.
You know?
Release it for
the
sure.
DeLulu. Unless it's like, okay, I've moved closer, so let's spin the block and see, you know,
where the solution is.
If we can revisit, if the connection is still there. I'm not against that, because like nothing wrong has happened. But in an instance where someone has been crystal clear about it not working for them, then you gotta let it go. You know? You gotta let it go, because at least he's being honest with you and communicating that it's not a fit, you know?
Yeah, and I like that. Communicate very early on what doesn't work. If the long distance,
she said it's been a year.
I know, a year of talking too. Is that she worded it as it's been a talking stage. I just called it a situationship, which if y'all were really locked in, great. But after a year of talking, we got, and being long distance, we got to figure out what's our plan.
And I think that's another thing where the plans are key, because if you are long distance and seriously talking, at some point the distance has to close.
Yeah, it's like,
it
are
has
we
to
gonna
become a short distance. So it's like, okay, so who's moving?
Or not even who's moving. How frequently are we going to see each other if it's long distance?
And who's moving? Eventually we got to be together. You know what I'm saying?
I know. And I think that maybe if they were in a relationship, he doesn't want to be in a relationship
because
but not with her, because the distance is creating an issue.
And I think that's the part that's like a knife to the stomach, because he's saying he's open to dating. He's ready for a relationship. And that's the thing. He is ready for a relationship. He's just not ready for a long distance relationship.
Yeah. Have I ever been in a long distance relationship? I was in one for a very brief moment, but then the person moved back to LA like early on in our stint. So it did. I couldn't really feel the difference because I wasn't doing no commuting or traveling. Right. I'm like, see, and I love when you read my mind like that. I tell Brittany all the time, try to read my mind. And you show me each time that you could do it.
No, I just thought about it.
That's reading my mind because I say it.
The Avant.
Read your mind, babe. Yeah, exactly. Read my mind. But yeah, it was very brief. It was short-lived.
Was that always the plan when y'all had first started talking?
Yeah, he was always going to move back to LA. He was, because he was done with his grad program and he had already been working. He was in Atlanta for a few months, a few years actually. So it was time for him to come back and settle. He's from LA.
So it was perfect timing. Yeah. You see how that works? The timing and the alignment matters.
Yeah.
Because if he had just started that program, your ass would have been like, I gotta go to Atlanta. Another 3,000 years. I would have been 3,000 years.
I would have been on a flight. We would have been flying out, girl. I would have been on somebody's buddy pass, standby, going to see my man. And I would have been expecting him to do the same. You need to be coming. It would have gave we need to see each other at least once a month.
I know. But sometimes, like, people just don't do good with long distance, even with those frequent visits. It's like, I need you. Close. I need to be able to pull up on you, you know?
I know. And I think I need that, too. But if it was... If we could decide how long it was going to be like a sacrifice, like, you know, I'm in school for this amount of time, or I'm taking this job and after I work here for so many years or a year, I'm going to get my experience and come back. I could lock in and sacrifice with you. But indefinitely, nigga, no.
Yeah.
You got communication is so key. It's paramount.
Ain't no nothing. Ain't no relationship without it.
You know, everything comes down to the communication. So, I mean, girlfriend, let it go.
Looks like another love TKO. No, just kidding.
It is.
But it is. I'm laughing because I feel you.
It is a TKO. But like Brittany said, the no contact method. Resolve the fact that you will see him out in public. I guess it's a good thing that you guys aren't on bad terms because it could just be, it's all love. When I see you, it's no tea.
And make sure you look good.
Period. Okay. I'm always have love for you. And if it makes sense at the right time, we'll see what could happen.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And make yourself open to dating and a relationship. Just Amanda's like he in your is. City. You know, just like he is. You never know what you might stumble upon.
You know, I always feel, I know the connection is really, it's important. It's important. And when we feel that connection, it's like, oh my God, it's so strong. Chemistry, you cannot
You can't create deny. It. You can't create
you
it.
You can't create it and you can't deny it.
Yeah.
But I am also a firm believer in the fact that, like, you will have chemistry with somebody else.
And you will.
And that a connection with somebody else that'll be valuable and make you feel really special. So think of this as an expander type of situation. Mm-hmm. It shows you what's possible that, oh my God, I can't really have a deep connection with somebody and potentially be locked in with someone. Hold on to that feeling because it'll show up again. Now you just know what it feels like.
Yeah.
You know what you're looking for in a partner as far as the chemistry goes. Yeah. So yeah, hold on.
Okay.
I don't know where that what song that was from.
I thought it was I'll Keep Holding On.
We giving y'all the oldies. The girls who listen to this pod might even not know that song. The early Gen Zers. But yeah.
Okay. This one we're calling Pick a Side, Best Friend or My Man.
Why do we all have to say my man?
My man.
My man. Like that now.
My man, because of song.
TikTok.
And my man.
Thank you to my man.
Okay, so hey homegirls, I just want to say thank you for consistently and effortlessly bringing good vibes on the BGB pod. That's a trait that I also have, and it's nice to listen to other women in their 30s who are the same. A lot of grown women be catty or okay, girl.
You're right. Thank you for the flowers.
Yes, thank you. Anywho, I would love to hear some feedback on a best friend breakup I went through last year with my childhood friend. She thought the night before our wedding would be a good time to bring up some issues her husband, the best man, had with my husband at his bachelor party, even though her husband told her not to bring it up because he was just venting to her. The pillow talk of sorts. Maybe because her husband knows he did some shady shit at the bachelor party and didn't want to open up that can of worms. I don't know. Also, her husband has zero homeboys and any guy that he gets close to is gay. Red flag. Was that a judgy statement? My bad.
These are her words.
These are her words. I'm reading it verbatim. Anyways, yeah, I don't want nobody thinking I said there was a red flag. This is what she said.
Right.
Anyways, she and everyone else was drunk and brought up her husband's concerns anyways. It led to a verbal fight. My husband got angry and loud, which is very rare, and ended up looking like the crazy one when she was the one who brought it up and was egging him to apologize on the night before the happiest days of our lives. The best. This is giving kind of best man scenario. Anyway. She is very emotionally impulsive and has had a verbal fight with my husband in the past. Fucking weird. The next day and morning of the wedding, he wasn't able to hang out with his boys because, again, he looked crazy the night before. Long story short, she put me in a position where I had to choose between her, pretty much my sister, and him. And of course I chose my husband. She once told me that she's doing what she's supposed to do by sticking up for me and is always dismissive when I tell her how I feel. She does this to her husband, too. We're in our 30s. Why are you fighting with someone who's not your man? This is not high school. Side note, she's a Scorpio and I know y'all are astrology girlies. When I listen to your girls' podcast, it really makes me miss our sisterly bond because it was truly unique. Anyways, I ended up having a phone call with her after to tell her how out of line she was and how angry she made me. Then I told her that I needed space. She ended the phone call saying, okay, well, I'll be here. And we haven't talked since. I'm sure I could have set a more solid boundary the night before the wedding, but at the same time, I've already had to do it when they first fought. I wasn't going to do it again. She is a grown woman. And that's where that ends. This is sticky. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to, like, your man and your homegirl, close homegirl, didn't get along well or mesh? Or were you the homegirl who didn't get along with somebody's man?
No.
Me either.
Uh-uh.
But I'm thinking the night before the wedding, if we had a conversation about not, or yeah. I guess she had the conversation with her husband and he told her not to bring it up. It's just time and
timing.
Place.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have picked
it
that
It was really
time.
Inconsiderate for her to pick that time to bring up funk.
Right, girl. It's my wedding.
We can talk about this after the case. You've now put a damper on the day.
Yeah.
You put a damper on the day and it was unnecessary. So I just feel like, maybe you all did need the space. It does suck. And if they've been having multiple arguments, that...
But why can't the men just talk? This is not even an issue that happened between y'all.
Right.
It's the best man. And obviously, he has some sort of close enough relationship to be your husband, now husband's best man. So right. If the best man is upset with your husband about something that happened at the bachelor party where neither one of y'all were there,
stay
remove
out of
yourselves.
It.
Girl, I would have said, girl, let's let the men handle it.
I would have said the same thing. It's
let's
not
let
our
the
business.
Men handle
Sometimes
it.
You have to be okay with things not being your business.
Yeah, and man or not, husband or not. I would have been like, we both have husbands. Let's let them take care of it. It don't have nothing to do with our friendship. If he has a bone to pick with him, then let's let them do it.
Yeah.
But it's not for you, the friend, the best friend, to go bringing it up and coming at my man, because then now I have to go into defense mode.
Exactly. And what show was this where, like, I feel like this was like a Married at First Sight or one of them like dating shows where someone had to like mediate between her boo and her bestie. I would have a conversation, like, you know, with both of them.
Yeah.
Y'all are going to have to figure out how to be cordial and get along, because I'm stuck in the middle of trying to mediate your conflict and I don't like it.
And honestly, removing of sorts. And I feel where she's saying, like, you put her in her place and she made her statement that she'll be here when you want to talk about it. It's foul. She owes y'all an apology.
She does.
The best friend owes you and your husband an apology for ruining y'all a big day. And she needs to take you guys to dinner. That's the only way to fix it now.
Yeah.
A dinner needs to be offered. A peace offering, an olive branch.
Something.
Like, let me go out and make it whole.
Yeah.
Let me make it
she
right
She would have
with
to
you
be
all.
The one. She would have to be the one reaching out to me as well.
Yeah, I need you to come over here and say something.
She would have to be the one reaching out to me, girl. I can't be the one reaching out to you.
And going forward, stay out of it. Let's stay out of these men's business.
Please. We got other things to worry about.
That was simple.
Yeah.
Okay. Trying again is what the next story is called. Hey fam, I adore the podcast. I've recently embarked on a journey of self and have been listening every day since. You guys are such a vibe and keep it 100 always. It truly is homegirl vibes here. So what brought me here? I always knew I had a bit of self-work to do. However, it wasn't until I got into this relationship with someone who has done the work, it became abundantly clear to me that I needed to act now. We were together for almost a year, but ended up splitting because ultimately I do love her dearly, but I wasn't able to truly love her how she needed to be loved. And that is because of a lack of love for myself. Areas where I would sometimes be oblivious, she would wonder, how is it not clear to me? She often had to coach me through quite a bit. And though I know the love was real, it unfortunately became draining to her. I was slightly codependent and had issues with setting boundaries and accepting the ugly parts of me, which the podcast has been helping me with. Heart. She said that she needs someone who can be truly themselves and that I need to do some work, some self-work, and perhaps we could try again. It was hard for me. I tried to convince her that I could do both, work on myself and work on our relationship at the same time. But that was leading me to doing it for her and not truly for me. So I have a question for you gals. One, do you guys think it is possible to properly date someone who hasn't done the work yet when you have yourself? And how do you guys feel about getting back together after a breakup? This was a great question.
It was.
And very well written. Thank you.
Yes.
Very well written.
I would say that, do I think it's possible to break some, I mean, to be in a relationship with someone when I haven't done the work, but they have? I think it is possible.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, I think it is possible depending on what type of work needs to be done, you know? Yeah. Because relationship, I don't think you have to come to a relationship all the way perfect. I think that sometimes relationships do help you like do some of the work, especially if you with someone who has maybe done more work with you or they offer a different perspective. Maybe they're more mature. But on the other hand, if you're just completely not together.
Yeah, not tapped in.
And it's affecting the relationship negatively to where, you know, it just feels impossible to have a healthy relationship. Then no.
Yeah.
You know, it really just depends on how much work needs to be done or what type of work needs to
be done. Yeah, what type of work. I can't help you with the shit that is just kind of like, if you're not self-aware, if you have fucking integrity issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're really not tapped in.
It's that really part, subjective. I would say it's subjective because everyone's different. Their capacity, what they can handle, what they're going to put up with, what their red flags are different. For some people, if you're not vulnerable or nurturing, they'll be like, this is a no for me. And for some others, they'll be like, you know, we can work on that.
Yeah.
You know, I can work on that with you.
Yeah.
I could probably, you know, massage it.
The issue, what it seems to be, is that her capacity for whatever your work that needs to be done is, her threshold is a little smaller than what you possibly need to do this work while simultaneously being in the relationship. And I've had that experience too, where I just felt like what the person needed was beyond what I could give.
Yeah.
You know, like I had a part of it. He was not my partner. He was a boyfriend, a nigga. A boyfriend. I was much younger.
A man.
He had a very deep mother wound. And I was like 18. We had 3 years apart, but there was so much going on in his life from his childhood that hadn't been resolved. He hadn't spoken with anybody. And I don't feel like I had done a lot of work. I'm pretty self-aware and I hadn't had a traumatic childhood like him.
Yeah.
So what he needed from me as far as like being a overly nurturing, overly considerate, overly soft place to land, I
couldn't be.
I could not.
It was giving hard
and
matters.
It's like, yeah, I can't. What you need to work on, we can't do it together because it's draining me. I don't feel like I want to love you right now. Like when I feel like that, and I don't believe that love is unconditional. So I don't. I believe that there are conditions to my love.
Yeah.
And I wasn't willing to be the nigga's mama. Yeah, I can't love you like your mama. I don't want to love you unconditionally like that, where you could just do whatever you want and I'm going to just tolerate it.
Yeah.
So when I start feeling drained like that to where I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
We have to part ways.
Yeah. You need to do the work.
You got to go talk to somebody.
You have to do the work on your own or with somebody who is willing to be with you while you're doing the work.
And I think maybe it can look like you need a therapist. You need a mental health professional to help you do the work if you're going to be in a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
Because then your partner doesn't have to be the
carry
outlet.
That burden.
Yeah. Like, let me help you work through it. Let me fix it with you. Let me talk about all of this stuff that I'm probably not skilled enough or like capable to help you handle and process and have tools for.
And she said she's working on it. So I would suggest that. And I do agree with what she said about.
And I don't know if it's a she. That, oh, what they said.
What they said about.
How they identify.
Doing the work. Only doing the work for the relationship.
Yeah.
It does definitely have to be some work that you have the desire to do and heal for yourself, because it won't be sustainable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it could create like some resentment. It just can end up really unhealthy. So yeah. I definitely recommend if this I appreciate this person's honesty. I'm loving the thread of honesty that mm-hmm. we have going on, where people are just being very upfront mm-hmm. and vocalizing, hey, you know, this isn't working for me, yeah. and giving you the space to do what you need to do.
We're seeing a generation of evolved girls, evolved people pop out.
Listen, the girlies are using their tools.
We're so much more refined
yeah.
than the generations prior. Like, nope, it's a red flag for me. I don't want to do it. Nope, I don't feel like this is a fit. I'm getting up out of it early. And I love that for us.
Yeah.
I love that for us. We were actually having a conversation last night, and we were talking about how a red flag presented itself for someone. And they said, no, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And we're very vocal, and the relationship was fairly new. But what I appreciated was like, yeah, if you see it, I'm heavy on the call a spade a spade. And it doesn't make the other person a bad person.
No.
I don't think it makes anyone a bad
person. It doesn't make anyone a bad person. It's just acknowledging where we are not aligned mm-hmm. and getting out early. There's nothing wrong with an early exit.
It's beneficial.
Yeah.
It's beneficial.
We have to learn how to leave things early, whether it's a relationship that's not working, a function that's not a vibe,
a friendship.
We can leave early.
Yeah. When you feel it, cut it off. The second part of her question that she wants advice on is, how do you feel about getting back together after a breakup?
We discussed that last week in detail with getting back with your ex. I feel like it depends on the situation. You know what? If you're going to get back together after a breakup, whatever caused y'all to break up needs to be changed.
Mended.
You know?
Fixed, yeah.
It needs to be fixed.
And I think that if it's a character, like if your character does not align with the person's character, it probably won't ever work. You'll just keep going in a cycle of breakup, makeup, breakup, makeup.
I agree.
If it's something that you feel like is changeable, is fixable,
yeah,
then great. You know, I'm going to use something totally trivial, but like time management. That's a skill that you can work on, you know, creating better habits. But if the person's a cheater, a liar.
Yeah, if they have integrity issues. If they have integrity issues, or like, you know, they may have been abusive or something like that, I would say that's a hard stop.
Yeah.
But if it was something circumstantial, like baby girl that we mentioned before with
the job,
the long distance, or maybe finances, or, you know, you had to do some work and now you're coming back healed. Maybe
yeah.
have some other experiences. I'm not against it.
Things that you can definitely see have changed.
Yes.
Like you have to be
you
able
have to see change.
Tangible change.
I definitely say you need to see. It needs to be tangible change. Let's not go back based off of a potential of what could change.
Listen.
Let's go back based off of evidence of change.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really great advice. So hopefully that helps you.
Yes. Hopefully. Okay, y'all. We want to finish answering these questions, but we have to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Okay, y'all, before we get back to the questions, we got to get y'all together. So if you are not following the show by now, make sure you hit that bell. Make sure you're subscribe and you leave a rating and let us know what you think about the content. Also, there's a question right there that is easy for you to answer. What do you think about the show?
Mm-hmm. We love reading your feedback.
We do.
So, yeah, make sure you share the episode with a homegirl. Tag us on social media when you put in people on. We really love that. We love seeing that you're putting the girlfriends on.
We surely do. You know what else we love to see?
What?
Y'all in real life. We love to meet y'all in real life, and we are having our second annual retreat. We're going to Belize May 3rd through the 7th, 2024. We're hitting the island.
Oh,
we're turning
God.
Into island girls.
She's an island girl.
We are. It's going to be such a good time. We have a few spots left. Now, some of the girlies have expressed concern about there not being any single rooms left. But listen, the purpose of this retreat is to meet new people and foster connections.
Mm-hmm.
What better way to do that than to be paired with a person who has shared interests. If you like the show, they like the show, y'all both want to travel. A lot of the girlies had roommates last year and everyone got along. You know, there was no tea.
It was really seamless. And the rooms are very spacious, so it's not like y'all going to be stacked on top of each other. If you just have any reservations about coming on the trip to the retreat, reach out to us. Let us calm you.
Let us calm you. Let us soothe you. We understand that it can be intimidating because it's out of the country. It's not cheap. And it could be new for a lot of people. But we can reassure you that we have curated a beautiful, luxurious experience. You will get your money's worth. You will have a time. You know?
Period. Also, we want to invite you to join us in our Homegirl Hangout. It's our exclusive membership community that we're hosting over on Patreon. If you love the podcast and what you're getting for free 99, you will really value what we're offering at a small nominal fee. And just a quick update. This is the best time for you to join Patreon during the month of September, because beginning October, the fee is going up. The price is changing.
It's going up.
So we are moving to a one-tier membership community so we can offer consistent, valuable content. This is the best way for you to connect with other like-minded girlies where you are. It's like a work-from-home situation.
Remote work.
It's a remote community. So we invite you to join us. All of the information is down in the show notes.
Okay, final question.
Or almost final.
I don't like my best friend's man. Okay. Hey, homegirls. One of my best friends is back with her man who no one liked and who she broke up with because she found out he was texting and fucking more than 10 girls a whole year they were dating.
I love when the messages are just direct, like, girl, let me bring it to your front door.
Not only that, he also had her name saved as a man's name and even tried to meet up with her friends to convince them that they shouldn't be doubtful of him because he was serious about her prior to being outed. Now that they're back together, I'm having a hard time because I don't want to be around him. Mm-hmm. I don't like him. He loves to be the center of attention and he is plain old ratchet. Oh, she said, I didn't like him then. He loves to be the center of attention and he is plain ratchet, and I definitely don't like him now.
Yeah.
I told my friend, but she says she just wants him to be given a chance by her besties. What should I do?
I'm from the school of thought. Girl, if that's your man and you like him, then he gonna be your man and you like him. I don't have to interact. And this is tough.
Because the part she wants, the part that is making it worse, harder, is because she wants them to be accepted by it. I can't
because this is a character flaw. That's why you got to keep your business to yourself unless you know you really done. You cannot make your friends accept the bullshit that you will accept and to tolerate the bullshit that you think is okay. No, girl, I don't get down like that. Now, if you want to, I won't say nothing bad about your man, but I'm not hanging out with y'all on a double date. I'm not kikiing like that. I'm sorry. I'm just not. It's not going to be a vibe for me. But again, I won't say nothing bad. If you want to talk, I'll be as objective and you know.
I think that's the most important part. I think it's okay to tell the friend that, you know, you have your reservations about being chummy with him, but find a way to not let it affect your friendship, because that's when it gets sticky, when you feel like you can't even be friends with the person no more, you know? Because of the relationship that they're in.
Yeah. Don't let it come between you and your friend. Just let her know, like, girl, what he did to you, I understand that you've forgiven him, but I haven't gotten to that point yet. So let me see the relationship play out and let me see how he honors you. Because that's the thing in our friendships. We hold our friends to a high regard and we want people who treat them right. And because we are not the person in the relationship and we don't have the rose-colored glasses on, it's easier for us to see shit for what it is. So just sit back, play the background, keep it tight, keep it zip tight, and see how things play out.
Yeah, and if your friend wants to come talk to you, because that happens sometimes, and people are like, we've gotten so many questions about how do I navigate my friend when she's in this toxic relationship. When they come to you and they want to talk with you about it, the first thing you can do is just approach them with curiosity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the questions are like, girl, we immediately be like, he ain't shit, I know he ain't shit. If people tell you something, you be like, I knew he was shit. It's like, hold on, just approach with curiosity, maybe ask them open-ended questions. that can get them to say something.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
It could get them to probably come to a realization. And if not, at least y'all not sparring, having a verbal sparring.
Yeah. It's more just like listening and reflecting.
Yeah.
Allowing them to say their piece. You don't got to come in with the I told you so. But eventually they're going to see.
They are.
They are going to see. They eventually are. They're going to see.
Another thing you can do is like gas your homegirls up or homeboys up. You know, like let them know the things that are good about them, because sometimes when our friends are in these toxic relationships, there can be an insecurity. You know, there can be a lack of confidence for being able to find something that's not this toxic relationship. So gas them up, you know, and if they make a good decision or choice, gas up their judgment. Like, girl, you did your big one.
Right.
You know, you did your thing. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for showing up. I'm proud of you for making moves.
Yeah. And if you're just really done and you're not feeling it at all, feel free to change the subject. You know, it's okay if you don't agree. You can have difference of opinions, and you can say that too. If y'all get on the conversation about the man, girl, like, you know, we got to agree to disagree on him.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about your man. Let's not talk about your man.
Yeah. Talk about something that's lighter, you know, maybe school, how's work going, a concert y'all want to catch up on, any hobbies that they're currently participating in or something that you want to share. But if that topic is too heavy and it's going to cause you guys to go down a path you don't want to go, then verbalize it. I don't want to talk about that. You know, we don't right. see eye to eye on that.
Ultimately, I think it's best, although it may be hard, especially when these are people we care about, is to just implement the let them theory. Mm-hmm. Unless they're really in harm's way, you know?
Yeah.
Getting abused or physically abused or something like that. It's just like, you know, I wouldn't do that, but I'm going to let you because this is your life.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to let you because I don't want to stress about it. I don't want to cause any complications within our friendship, and if it's ultimately becomes too much, then maybe
remove yourself.
Girl,
I can't handle it.
I
love that. So now we are at the final question, and this comes from IG. One of the homegirls said, how do I stop feeling like I'm not worthy of my partner? This is a heavy one because it deals with worth,
yeah,
and your value. But I would tell you that The same esteem that you're putting towards him in regard that you think that he's so amazing and like you don't deserve him, you are in that same position. He should feel that way about you, any person that gets to engage with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have to stop being so mean to ourselves and so critical of ourselves and really know that we are amazing. You know, I don't really know how much simple. It's easier said than done, but it's the truth. If he's a good catch, then you are a good catch because y'all are together.
Right.
You have caught one another. Like attracts like.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Write down all the things that you think makes him so special and then write some things about yourself that you feel like you contribute to a relationship or a partner. And like what, even outside of him, what value do you feel like you hold within yourself? You know, like my integrity, I'm a good friend, I'm loyal, I'm dependable, I'm smart, whatever those things are. And you'll be able to see on paper how much value you really are. And really, you just are valuable because you're here.
I was going to say that, like, really try to focus on your value outside of having this partner that you feel is like so amazing. And maybe you're questioning, like, why is he here with me? Mm-hmm. So that if something were to happen, you know, you would still be able to grasp that worth and hold on to it and know that it's true, you know? Yeah. So I think what you said is a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, girls.
Okay, y'all.
This was fun.
It was fun. And, you know, we are not experts. We're not experts, but we got something to say from time to time.
All the time.
If you send your questions, we're here to answer them. You can text, you can leave a voicemail, you can send a DM, email, all the contacts that we provided at the top of the show. And we will answer them here, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for. So we will see y'all next week, wrapping up our final episode of our relationship series.
Yeah.
And yeah.
We'll see you next week. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.